This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samuel Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
I've been speaking briefly on the topic, true honor. True honor. God honors no man. The one that is above does not honor the one that is beneath him. Subjects honor kings. Kings do not honor subjects. Oh, once in a while you can hear people say, oh, they are giving somebody a medal of honor or a medal of valor, or because of his achievement is getting honored with a particular title. Honor in that sense is not true honor. No. It is achieved, merited. You do not merit honor. Let me say that again. Something I fight for, that I work for, that you're recognizing me for, is not honoring. You are basically just giving me accolades that I have earned. You are giving me my stripes. Somebody goes to war, risks his life, fights a battle, rescues many people from danger, and then he gets a citation, and the government says you are giving this person a medal of honor. Oh, that medal of honor in that context was earned. True honor is honor that is given, not because it is earned, but because it was bestowed. We honor God, not because God earned anything. It is his place, his right to be honored. We honor kings. You see, men honor men. That was why I started with God owes nobody a debt of honor. But men owe God a debt of honor. And men owe kings a debt of honor. So we saw in the story of David and Saul what true honor is. See, true honor was the fact that regardless of how dishonorable Saul conducted himself, David did not allow the dishonorable behavior of the king to stop him from honoring the grace that is on the king. If you look in the scriptures, the example of anyone that you call faithful among men, even to the detriment, at his own detriment, knowing that he has to flee from danger, he has to take his parents out of danger, he had to seek asylum in the land of the enemy because of the wrath of this king. Yet, David refused to dishonor Saul. He said Saul was an anointed king who carries the mandate of God, and he would not be the one to belittle the anointing that is upon this man's life. That is honor. Because I used to work with pastors, I had first-hand experience observing the hypocrisy of men that will talk about their fellow pastor in front of those of us who are PAs at the time. They will speak disparagingly in a denigrating manner of this man in secret. But then they get on the altar and they are introducing the same man to the church. And they begin to say, oh, he's such a great man, a man of great knowledge, a man of power, a man of integrity. They say all sorts of great and mighty things about this same person in public. But behind this person, they dislike this person. They scheme against him. They plot against him. I saw this firsthand when I was working with pastors. It was quite shocking that Christians could have such double standards, no, not double standard, two-faced. That's the word. To be so two-faced, to be so hypocritical, so that in the presence of the person, we are all, my boss, Twale, oh, I honor you. I respect the grace of God upon your life. Oh, but as soon as the person turns his back, rubbish, nonsense. What is even the sermon he preached? What is that? Is this? Is that? And with the same mouth, true honor honors the grace, regardless of circumstances, situations, or conditions. I was a man of God in his 80s. He was sick, but this was a man of God, a man that has trained many missionaries, a man whose reputation within the church, and he's a man that many people didn't know. But when I read the account of all the great things he has done, I was reading it. He wrote to me himself and said, "Parabinga, I'm about to go home to be with the Lord. But I have so many unfinished works, and I want to commit them to your hand." He had orphanages that he was still taking care of. He had widows that he was still supporting. He had missionaries, over 78 missionaries that he was still taking care of. He sent many of them through school, through mission school in the north, in uncharted territories of Nigeria. This was a man who was sold out to the gospel 100%. So when he wrote to me and I saw all the work that he still had pending, that he wanted to commit to my hand and say, "But I think I want you to continue this project even after I'm going to be with the Lord," I said, "Ah, I need to meet this man. I need to honor him." It was my decision. I need to honor him. At 80, see all the things he has done for the gospel. See all the things he has done. Those of us who are still young, I couldn't even think of, I've not even done 10% of what this man has done. And yet, he was unknown. Not a pastor that mounts podiums or no. Just a member of a church, a very quiet, unassuming man who was silently doing mighty things for the gospel all over Nigeria. All over Nigeria. Yeah, he trained 38 people through university, not his children, not his relative, just for the sake of the gospel. And he trained 117 missionaries through mission school. Great man. So I said, "Oh, before this man would die, I want to meet him. I want to be the one to say thank you." Because I didn't know what I did to deserve his attention. So then I took myself to his place, traveled. I had to fly. I had to go meet him. When I got to him, met one of his daughters with him. The daughter saw me. Said, "Ah, but I've been guy. Wow. What are you doing here?" I said, "Oh, I came to see daddy." Then this daughter called me aside, held my hand and pulled me aside. Pulled me aside. Said, "Ah, Badinka, please don't see him." Said, "Why?" Said, you know, let me tell you, daddy is a good man to outside world, but we are his children. I know that this is not a man that you let him just die a miserable death. Don't pray for him. Don't meet him. Don't. I said, "What did he do?" He said, "After our mother died, there are five of us, you know, five girls. And after our mother died, we thought daddy would not remarry. He remarried a woman. This woman maltreated all of us. And daddy took aside almost all the time. And this and that and that. And this and that and that." And she, no, I was, this will be the first time that I'll be meeting this family. And this lady made me rethink. It convinced me in 30 minutes that this man wasn't worthy of honor. This is a man that is deserves whatever life is dealing to him at the moment. Nobody should give him any reprieve. Nobody should give him a moment of joy. Let him suffer in misery and die. And she said it, said, I know you may want to pray for him. Don't pray for him. There are some people that when they are getting rewarded for their behavior in this life, God is only using it to teach others a lesson. You know? And this daughter, a pastor too, she was quoting scriptures for me. And when she was done, I said to her, "He is your father. So you have a right to withhold honor from him if you want to. Your story that you just told me is of no effect to me. I do not know you. I have no business with you. I saw what this man did, and I came all the way, prompted by the Spirit of God that lives in me, to honor this man. And you stood here and you followed him in such a way that it would seem as if I honor him by associating with him, I'll be a partaker of all his misdeeds. I said, I choose not to take your word. I choose to follow the instruction of the Holy Spirit and honor this man. Honor is not deserved. Honor is bestowed. Any honor that is deserved is basically just a reward for hard work. Somebody works hard and you pay the person their salary. You cannot say, I'm honoring you with your salary. The person has worked for it, has earned it. So you think this man should only be honored for good behavior? No. If you are honoring him for good behavior, he deserved it. That means you are just saying thank you for being good to us. That is not honor. True honor is that wherever the Lord says honor, you honor the person. And so I said, I'm going to meet your father. Then I went to the man on his sickbed, sat by him, held his hand. We sang like three or four hymns together. Because I got there and I said, "Ah, daddy, I didn't come to pray for you or to heal you. I just came to fellowship with you. Just tell me your favorite hymns." So he mentioned one. I sang with him, mentioned another, sang with him, mentioned another, sang with him, mentioned another, sang with him, and began to pray in the spirit. It bursted into tongues. His spirit was elated. Strength came into his bones. I was also crying and praying. And suddenly the man sat up. He looked at me. He hugged me. He said, "Ha, the whole world abandoned me." I kept thinking in my heart that when I get to heaven, how will I give an account? How will I tell the Lord that I handed over this labor that I've done for many years to? And I didn't know you. I just sent you a mail and you came. And you didn't come asking me questions. You came to fellowship with me. Ah, oh my God. I realized that moment, what it meant to honor somebody truly. A lot of us do not know how to honor people. I say it all the time. A lot of Christians, a Christian comes to a church, you are blessed, you know, blessed. And then somebody writes a check and say, "I want to honor pastor with 1 million. No, no, no. There is a place for honor that is transactional, where you just want to be a blessing to somebody. There's a place for it. There's also a place for honor when it comes from your heart. Remember the sons of Noah? The Bible said Noah drank in the vineyard, in his own vineyard, and he was drunk. And that because he was drunk, he began to misbehave. He got naked, was saying all sort of nonsense. He was totally inebriated. And that his son, last one, came there and saw his father. And the natural instinct that one feels towards a drunk is to look at somebody that is drunk, and you look at the person as if, what a pathetic person. What an excuse of a human being. See the way this one is behaving. Drunk like this. Drunk like this. And this is my own father. I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed. His father did this. I'm ashamed. It was the natural instinct of any one of us who has a relative who is drunk. who is now parading himself on the street. You don't want to associate with the person. You don't want anything to do with the person. You want to go home and say, hey, mommy, I saw your son in the market. He was rolling in the mud, vomiting all over himself. Ah, that boy has disgraced the family. That is the first instinct that any one of us would have when we have a family member that has dishonored the family in such a way. And this was the instinct this young man had towards his father. But the older sons, they came and they covered their father's nakedness. They took him away from where he was in his own vomit. They washed him. They laid him down, bedded him to sleep. When he woke up, he heard what has happened. He heard that in his lowest of low, this was the reaction of one of his sons. And the other two sons, this was their reaction. He saw the contrast between somebody honoring you because you earned it and honoring you because it bestowed on all you regardless. The Bible said he blessed these other sons. That was how they earned their blessings. He blessed them because even though he did not conduct himself in quote, an honorable manner, they didn't give him honor according to his conduct. They honored him by bestowing and bequeathing honor on him according to the precept of honor. When the Lord told us to honor our parents, that was why he didn't tell us if it doesn't matter whether our parents are good or bad. It doesn't matter. You honor them. When David, who had honored Saul when he came into power, where he saw dishonor for first was from his own son, Absalom, who wanted to take his throne. In fact, who took his throne? While David was saying, I cannot touch the anointed one of God, I cannot touch Saul, Absalom did not have any qualms about touching David and all his men. He had no honor towards his father. What happened to him? His days was not long. He was struck down in his prime, killed like a dog in the battle of the fields, struck to death by Joab. Adonijah was another son of David who refused to honor the grace that David had, decided that he was going to take the throne for himself, collided with Joab and Abiathar, and decided that they were going to take the crown from a living king and wear it. His days was not long. His head was chopped off by Solomon. Do you know the one that wore the crown? Solomon, the one that refused to play the game of thrones. Even though right from his birth, God sent a word when he was born. And God said, this is my beloved, this is my Jedidiah. And from the word of the Lord, from the prophet to David, Bathsheba took that word to mean, this is my preferred one. Let me say that again. Jedidiah, you know, means my beloved, the son I love. But Bathsheba, his mother, took that instruction to mean, this is my preferred one, the one I love, the one I prefer. That means Bathsheba then said, this boy has a right to this throne. Why? Because God said, this is my preferred one. And David decided to honor God's word. And when David would put Solomon on the throne, see how he rolled out the honor. The honor was not because a king was honoring his son, no. David was honoring the word of God that brought forth Solomon. Jedidiah, my preferred one. If honor is earned, it is not honor. It is deserved. Honor shouldn't be deserved. If God says to honor someone, somebody writes to you, this man you want to honor, he did this, he did that, he did this, he did that, But God says, honor the person. God said, honor your parents. You know, somebody wrote to me, said, my father. Ah, my father helped many people. I said, eh. Said, but we didn't know that all these people that sometimes he slept with some of them. He said, eh. Said, yes. That our house was like a boarding school. My daddy has many people from the village. They just come. They put their children in our house. My daddy will pay their school fees. My daddy has been doing this since we are young. In fact, our house, we don't even know those of us who are children apart from those who are not children. That was how my father was in the community. Very powerful. Anybody that is like a widow or anybody that needs help, they just know that if they come to our house, there is ready help. I said, oh, what work was your father doing? I said, oh, my father was the general director in the 80s, a regional director in one of the big banks. There was money. And my father used the money to train the whole community. And now, as we are getting old, we began to hear stories that he slept with somebody and had a child with that person. And he slept with somebody else and had a child with that person. And this lady began to talk to me. And I said to her, Fiji, you are talking like somebody who doesn't have any understanding. You are judging your father. Ah. You are judging your father. You sit in judgment. Hey! You sat in judgment over your own father. You are not in his shoes. You do not know the circumstances that led to anything he did. What you owe him? Honor. This is the instruction of God that came with a promise. He said, honor your father. So because of that, you kept away from him. You told your sister to keep away. So it is the stranger that he trained that are taking care of him in his old age. You, his biological children, you kept away because was he married to you? Did he cheat on you? Why are you misoperating? You people do not know. You do not know the level at which you operate. You do not judge those that are above you. It is beneath. If you judge them, you subject to, you open yourself to dishonor by those that are coming behind you. Honor is bestowed. That was why God said we should bestow it. You honor people at all level. The Lord said you should honor without looking at their record. It is not your business. They owe you nothing. My father is a witch. I will honor him. I honor my father. My father had no faults in me. I'm not kidding. I said, you did this, you did it. You didn't die. I don't care. God said, honor your father. When you give your own father, go and stone him. This is my own biological father. I would honor him. I honor my mother. Parents will be perfect. There's nothing you can do about it. But to honor your parents, it is a law. Jesus said that I honor my father that is in heaven. Jesus honored his father. You see, because it is important to set the honor code straight. Rethink your ways, ladies and gentlemen. If there's anybody here whose parents are, oh, my daddy, we better stop it. Honor them. Honor your parents. If there's anybody that God has set as the place of honor in your life at one point or the other, honor them. I kid you not. Not such people. The pastor reached out to me 24th of April. He didn't know it was my birthday. He just reached out. He said, Benga, at your convenience, please send something to me. Ah, I'm sending my wife. I said, when I will start out in ministry, when I was going to start out, I was working for this man. I was his PA. And this man saw me. He saw how the Lord planned to use me. I couldn't see it at the time, but it was elderly. And the man looked at me and he said, even though you are collecting salary in this office and you are my PA, don't worry, I will not give you work. I want you to focus on the work that God has given unto you and build it. But the salary you are collecting, it will help to cushion one or two things because I know how the work will be. And the man requested for nothing. In fact, when I was going to be ordained as a deacon, and I didn't qualify for ordination, this man said no. He took the file from himself, filled it, insisted, put his house address as my house fellowship center, and said, You are the leader of my house fellowship. The house fellowship that I lead in my house, I've now given it to you so that you can qualify. I said, the man had never made a demand of anything of me. And suddenly the man pops up, said, this is a man that deserves to be honored. Oh, of course, if I look at some of the behaviors, I will see faults. But who are you to look at a human life, a human being's decision that I always made per second and per variation of circumstances, and then decide that you want to use that to make people merit your honor? You are not God. You honor those he said to honor. And nobody should be in your book of dishonor. I mean that. Nobody should be in your book. You shouldn't have a list where you say, these ones are dishonoring them. No. A Christian has no list of dishonor. A Christian honors all men. But honor is in categories. So, you know, I honor my parents. If there is a man of God or a person of influence, a mentor, I honor this person. And no matter what you hear about the person, no matter. I remember when the news broke that the South Korean government were arresting David Yonggi Cho, and that they accused him of either money laundering or embezzlement. David Yonggi Cho is a father of the gospel in the Korea Peninsula. He held the gospel, he grew the gospel from zero, and he built the largest church in the world at one time. He was not a man to be dishonored. And I saw these people, a lot of people, young Christians, writing. Those who are, many of them are living in America and other countries, writing about David Yonggi Cho. Because they saw a news from government, they started writing dishonoring comments, talking about the leaders that failed. I said, these are stupid people. These people, you are writing about who? About who? Hey, you must understand what honor is. You do not put your mouth in matters that are beneath and beyond your level of comprehension. Never judge a book by its cover. Who God has said to honor, you honor. It is a simple thing. Why put yourself in trouble investigating a man that God said you should honor? Why put yourself in trouble? Honor is bestowed. It is never earned. If I honor my father because my father is a good father, then I'm only saying thank you for being good. Honoring somebody and saying thank you are two different things. When you honor somebody who didn't deserve it, but who God said to honor, you have honored the word of God. You have, that means you have lifted the word of God far above your own level of thinking and understanding. You have walked in that manner in honor. That is what true honor is. The month of May is the month of honor. The Lord said to me this. I'm going to be speaking a lot about honor. But I'm saying this so that you can set the stage for it and take advantage of the coming days. Reset in your mind what comes with honor. And if there's anybody that you ought to honor, send a message. Say thank you. Do it. You don't have to give anybody money to honor them. Take your phone. Send a message. Oh, I honor grace of God in your life. You did this, you did that. I've looked at you from afar. This and that. God bless you. I honor the. Just do it. Learn the culture of honor. Learn it and begin to pursue and practice it. It attracts to you the kind of mindset that is fit for the kingdom. The mindset that is fit for the kingdom, it attracts it to you. Do not forget my words. Thank you, Father, for your children. Thank you because we sit together, we learn, and we grow together in you. We honor you. We honor you. We adore you. You are our Father. And we honor your word above all else. We honor your word above our feeling, above our thought and imagination, above our pettiness. We honor your word. We uphold your word as a standard. And we declare from today that your word will be the guiding light for all our decisions. Thank you, Father. As our children will go to their various churches, I declare, let joy overflow like never before. Let those who come in contact with them experience the fullness of grace and power that is in them. Let them walk in power like never before. And let the glory of the Son of God shine forth in their destinies. From this day going forward, Father, let them walk in the understanding of who you are, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, accomplish great things through your word. Thank you, Father, for you've done this. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Bless somebody that is blessed. Shout glory.
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.
Bag huge savings on your painting projects at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. DuraFighter interior paint starts at $27.75 a gallon. Get an additional 15% savings on all Dutch Boy paints when you put it in the bag. See store for complete details. Save big.